Well, thanks, John Stroud, for joining me for this week's news brief. I wanted to talk about some decisions that the Glenwood Springs City Council has taken to change housing availability in Glenwood Springs. Glenwood Springs City Council has decided, according to your article, to sort of ditch the affordable housing mandate. Mayor Mike Gamba said that he's motivated to see a workforce housing policy, and he said if there's a need in the community, then the community needs to pay for that need. What does that mean?
Well, I think that relates to the ongoing effort to possibly form a regional housing authority in the Roaring Fork Valley, and specifically the lower Roaring Fork Valley. They're currently in the process of doing a housing needs assessment to determine whether this is something that would possibly be put before voters. And I think what he's getting at there, and it's been a big emphasis on the part of the city of Glenwood Springs, is to try to provide some incentives to get some more employee-specific types of housing with a special emphasis on rental units.
Well, we'll get to rental units in a minute. You also wrote that a majority of the council felt like the affordable housing provision is no longer relevant.
It's similar to ones that are on the books in Carbondale and Basalt, and Garfield County also has a provision that requires developers of free market housing projects to provide a certain percentage of deed-restricted below-market housing within their projects. Glenwood put theirs on the books in 2001 and required that 15% of every housing project with six or more residential units to be deed restricted. And that includes income qualifiers for buyers and a requirement that the owner actually live in the unit and also an annual appreciation cap. You know, since it was put on the books, it only generated 10 deed restricted units in Glenwood Springs, where I think Carbondale and other communities have had a lot more success with that. And part of it is just there haven't been a lot of big residential developments in Glenwood Springs in that period of time.
Is deed-restricted housing still too expensive for most people?
Well, that's certainly what developers will argue whenever they're required to build these units. They say it's hard to get them financed and that the cost to build those below-market units essentially ends up getting passed on to the buyers of the free-market units, where you're keeping those certain percentage of units, the cost down. The cost for the free-market units is going up as a result. And so that's always been kind of the argument as to why it's not necessarily the best policy. And for Glenwood Springs, the other thing is the price points between free market units in Glenwood Springs and those deed restricted units is not nearly as great as it is in some of the up valley communities, you know, specifically in Aspen. You know, you got $2, $3, $4 million homes where the deed restricted units are, you know, $500,000 or whatever. And it makes a lot more sense in those communities. But the difference there is that they have a housing authority that builds those units, and they're not leaning on developers to provide those deed-restricted units.
I want to move to the other issue that council decided on that has to do with housing. They voted to extend vacation rental authorization to subdivisions within the city limits like Cardiff Glen or Glenwood Park or Oasis Creek out on the west side of town. And, you know, the affordable housing advocates have said in the past, not just in the Roaring Fork Valley, but elsewhere, that short-term vacation rentals really reduce the availability for rentals. And I'm wondering what council has said about this.
Yeah, you know, theoretically, that it can be true. City Council, what they have been trying to do with this and then a previous action is to try to bring these vacation rentals onto the books with the city. Prior to this action where they allowed vacation rental units in subdivisions, they allowed a 30-day amnesty period for any units that are being offered up for vacation rentals in Glenwood Springs to, you know, file for a business license and sales tax, because a lot of these units have been listed as vacation rentals, but they haven't gone through the process of being formally recorded with the city. And so they're not able to collect the sales and lodging tax on those units until they do that. You know, some of the organizations, Airbnb, for instance, are a little bit better about making sure the owners that list with them are, you know, legitimate with their local jurisdiction before they will do this, but others not so much. So there's several of these units out there that have not gone through the process of filing with the city, and so there's an effort to, you know, try to bring them into compliance.
How will these decisions impact the housing market in Glenwood Springs, do you think?
The short-term rentals, it's another way for people to use their property. It's a property rights issue is kind of where the city's coming from with that. But, you know, I do hear the argument that this will take potential, you know, long-term lease units off of the market. But, you know, it's just up to the owner. If this is something they would prefer to do, then this allows them that option. Otherwise, they might just continue to live in the unit and not rent it at all.
Well, John Stroud, reporter for the Post-Independent, thanks very much for joining me.
Okay, thank you.